join me? I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Next on the agenda, we have a few presentations this evening. The first one will be a...
Excuse me, Mayor.
Why don't we approve the agenda?
Did I miss that on here? Oh, yeah. Approval of the agenda. I get going too fast.
So moved.
Second?
Well, before we do the approval of the agenda, there was something I wanted to add, if that would be all right. In fact, I'd like to just go ahead and make a motion. I move we sing happy birthday to Mayor Kelly this evening.
I second that.
Yes. I'll third it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just happened to have here. Would you council members join me here? We have a little cupcake. Happens to say.
I'm running.
There you go. I think the question is, does it blow back?
Staff, will you join us?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Fire guys, you want to come down and back me up here? Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah, thank you. Okay, well, I guess we have to get back to our business.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes, thank you.
5-0, motion passes.
Now getting back to the presentations, this evening we had a proclamation declaring October of 2012 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Council Member Fonzie will make that presentation for us.
And your name?
I'm Jennifer Adams, the Executive Director of the North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center.
Very good. Jennifer, we'd like to present you with a proclamation declaring this Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we're very happy to do so and to honor the North County Women's Shelter for what they do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have a camera?
We have the, yeah, we want to go along.
We can do them right here. Yeah. Okay.
She would like to say something.
Oh, okay, fine.
On behalf of the staff, volunteers, and board members of the North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center, we thank you for this proclamation. 30 years ago, our agency was established here in Atascadero to meet the needs of local women and children. 5 years later, the city of Atascadero supported the agency in purchasing our first shelter to safely house women and children escaping domestic violence. During our tenure, we've supported thousands of families affected by the devastating effects. We hope to work ourselves out of a job in the next 30 years, but in the meantime, we will continue to provide a safe haven for those wishing to create a safe and peaceful home. There are many events happening throughout the North County this month in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We hope you'll check out our website and find an event to attend. Our annual Sunday Supper with Friends at McPhee's in Templeton will be held on Sunday, October 28th. There are still tickets available for this event. But it always sells out, so give a call or come by the office to get your tickets. And as we've done in the last 2 years, we will have a float in the Colony Days Parade. So if nothing else, you can cheer us on from the sidewalks or come by our booth on Saturday the 20th. So again, thank you very much, Mayor and Council members, for your ongoing support of the North County Women's Shelter and Resource Center and for helping to break the cycle of domestic violence in our community. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Could you come forward and we'd like to get a picture? Thank you for the great job you do. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't worry, if somebody's missing bubble, just Photoshop them.
Thank you. Our next proclamation will be declaring October as Rideshare Month in Atascadero, and Councilman O'Malley, who does a lot of work for us on our bus system and rideshare program, will be making that presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Kelly. And it is my pleasure to introduce Angela Nelson, who's the program coordinator with Rideshare, which is a subsidiary, you might say, of San Luis Council of Governments and works closely with the Regional Transportation Authority. I'm only going to read the first whereases because, you know, there's a lot of them, but the City Council of Atascadero recognizes that 74% of commuters in San Luis Obispo County commute to work by driving alone, which significantly contributes to air pollution, road congestion, and decreased quality of life locally and throughout the state. The counterpart to that is one of your talking points will probably be later, but I want to say it again. That means over 20% of folks are doing a significant work, whether it's biking or commuting in carpools. And as we discussed at San Luis Council of Governments the other day, if those folks weren't doing that, it would literally just about shut down the grade. And a lot of our freeway systems, it really does help save money to all of us taxpayers by reducing a lot of that traffic that would otherwise have to be handled on our road system. So that is good news for even those of us that don't do as much ride sharing as we should. And I look forward to you coming back telling us about Bike Month. But tonight, you have some things to share about Rideshare, and we thank you for your work countywide.
Thank you so much, Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley, and the mayor and all of you for having us here and for yet again seeing October as another Rideshare Month. Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley said that very well. The whole goal of this is to reduce the air pollution, it's to reduce the congestion on the roads, and to make parking easier for all of us who do need to drive. And so we're really continuing to promote that with the things that we found that work well, and that is basically with our Rideshare Month or our Commute for Cash. So it's very simple. People try something new or they continue doing what they're doing, be it riding the bus, carpooling, vanpooling, biking, telecommuting, and they log their commutes on rideshare.org. And by doing that, you're instantly entered into a drawing for daily prizes, $100 cash every week, or the grand prize, which is a trolley ride up to Cambria for a wine tasting and lunch. Where it's very simple to participate. Just give it a try. And on our website, on rideshare.org, you can find bus trip planners. You can find carpool matching systems. You can also even find bike routes to try things or find bike buddies. So we just encourage everybody to give it a try and to make further incentives and to thank people who have been doing it already. We have a couple themed days throughout the month. Every Monday in October is Carpool Mondays. And so we're going to gas stations throughout the county, and we don't announce it until that morning. And if we catch you carpooling, we give you $20 in gas and coffee to thank you. On Tuesdays is Transit Tuesdays, and every bus throughout the county, anyone can ride for free on Tuesdays for the entire month of October to give it a try. And we have mystery thank you givers, actually, on Tuesdays as well. So you might get caught riding and thanked for trying it and given a little token of appreciation. Thursdays are Vanpool Thursdays, and we're doing showcases this year where you can go from 11:30 to 1:30 and check out a van, see what it's like to ride in them, how clean they are, how much it costs, if there's seats available, or maybe even get some of your lunch buddies together and try and put together a Vanpool. And then Bike Fridays, in honor of Bike Month being such a huge success throughout the county, particularly here in Atascadero this last year, we also have bike breakfasts every Friday morning at different locations within the city of San Luis. So for those commuters that bike down, they can have a free breakfast and coffee. I want to thank the city for being so supportive of both Rideshare Month and Bike Month, and we look forward to continuing this partnership with all of you and another successful year.
Thank you, and I have a proclamation if you came forward. I believe you have Mayor Kelly's birthday present here as well.
I do.
Bring that
we
forward
have
and
our
hand
special
it out.
Giveaways. We wanted to make sure that all of the members of council got as well. So.
You did good. You got a teacher present.
You're going to have to figure it out.
That number
Sure to get the police chief one, too. He, if you notice, his head could use some to keep it warm, so.
All the cameras were down. The next recognition will be of the State of California Special Training Awards recipients, and Chief Fire Chief Stone will be making that presentation.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Thank you. Tom, if you'd come up. As you realize, a few months back, we recognized Tom for a life-saving award. Well, I wasn't able to present this award to him about a month ago when I presented the last one. I think he was up on a fire, if I remember right.
Vacation.
Never mind. Next to as good as a fire. We'd like to recognize Tom Little for achieving and being recognized by the State of California for Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, and Emergency Medical Technician 1. This represents hundreds of hours of training, documentation, and validation and verifying his training and his skills with the State of California. And this is presented by California Firefighter Joint Apprenticeship Committee, and it's a pretty significant honor. And he's declining speaking.
Okay. Can you want to come forward and we'll take a photo?
Congratulations. Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll cat, yeah.
Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any item on the consent calendar that a member of the council wishes to pull? Not seeing that, is there any item on the list that a... Okay.
Which
minutes,
item?
Minutes for September.
There's two of them. Oh, both of them?
Fine. So then we need a motion to approve number three.
So we moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
I'm sorry, who was the second? Thank you. Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Mitch, would you like to come up to the podium and see what questions you have about those minutes, please? Please, for the record.
I think your microphone isn't on.
It's green. Is it on? Thank you. Sorry. As unaccustomed I am to public speaking. I was poking around the agenda today and happened to get lost and go down to the minutes for both of these meetings in September. And on the community forum, all it mentions is that people have talked and they only list their name, not their issues. And I would like, when I speak at public forum or any of our people that are attached to the Road to 41 issue, I'd like their subject written out.
Yeah. I think, Marcia, would you like to comment on that? I think we made a policy some time ago because we taped the meetings and what have you, and it's a cost reduction deal. If you could explain that, please.
Sure. As the in the past, in years past, we weren't videotaping meetings, and the minutes did have more information in them. But also with budget cuts, we used to have someone else taking the minutes for me. And also now that we are videotaping, that actually state law has always said, not just recently, but has always said that the minutes are supposed to only contain the actions that are taken by the council, and to mention in public comment if people have spoken and to list their names. So that is what we are now. We've been doing that for over a year now. I think it's been 2 years now that I've been doing that.
So that's the policy that we're following.
You know, the policy has been, this has been mission creep to the point where the people of Atascadero can't ask questions in front of the council.
They can ask
questions. Have to submit the question.
They can ask questions,
and
there's an avenue for them to get their answers, which is very clear.
But it doesn't come out.
That's the policy in place, and that's the policy that will stay in place as long as I'm the mayor.
Okay. Well, I think that it's been a progressive move to isolate the people of Atascadero. They can't ask questions. It used to be after community forum that answers were given to the public. That doesn't happen anymore. Now in the minutes, all you get is a name and no issues. This is just putting up walls in between the government of Atascadero, who are elected by the people and paid by the people. You know, you have a sign up here, a slide that says Atascadero open for business. There it is right there. I think you ought to amend it and say it's closed to its own citizens.
Okay. Marcia, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to add to that first of all, like I said, the minutes are supposed to just list the person's name who spoke. But if you have something that you are saying during community forum and you would like it somehow included, if you read a prepared statement and turn it in to me, it becomes an exhibit to the minutes. So that is a way, if you're wanting your comments included, you can do that. But it's not included in my minutes. It would be an attachment to my minutes. And also on your comments about the questions at public comment, the city council meeting is a business meeting, and the business is listed on the agenda, and the community forum portion is listed for the public to speak about items not on the agenda. There is no reference in the law that says that we have discussions or answer questions. And yet the council still does that occasionally, but it's not a requirement.
There's also
So at what point, I'm sorry, I don't mean this. There's not a long agenda here tonight, if I could take one moment. So at what point does the public get a reaction or some feedback from the government, the city government and staff, about issues in a public forum? Everything seems to be done in a clandestine manner, lest the policies be made public.
Well, I think our policies are public, and I think on a couple different occasions, I've met with you for over an hour to discuss some of the issues that you have, and we've provided answers for you, and I think one of the issues that you had got resolved.
I will take issue with the fact that I got answers.
I said one of the issues was resolved. Yeah. We're still working on it. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much
for your comment. So I guess we'll need a motion to approve the minutes for the two September meetings.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Fine, thank you. Updates from the city manager?
Mayor and council, a few quick updates for you. The building permits for the 99-cent store there in the Vaughn's Shopping Center have been issued. They were issued September 25th. They're going to go into the former Video Palace location there. We're looking forward to that project. As you remember, there are some extensive facade improvements we're showing on the screen. Just another update on Traffic Way, because I know there continues to be questions about the Caltrans project, and we're prodding them as much as possible. They say that this Thursday or Friday they will complete the sidewalk, the pouring of that sidewalk to make the necessary connections across Traffic Way.
Question on that, if I may.
Sure.
And this came up at San Luis Council of Government meeting. I brought up because a number of folks have raised concerns with many of us about that section. And one area of concern, of course, is that I believe the contractor who had to redo that work from a previous year and now it's being finished correctly, that work will be done. But if you drive by there, I notice there's one driveway kind of midway between the Carlton and the Catholic Church or the Traffic Way Bridge that's all torn up. Is that part going to be repoured as well? Because at this point, you have two ADA-accessible sidewalks coming together with a big chunk of a driveway that's just missing.
That's the portion that will be repaired.
So it will be completed, and then all basically from the freeway on-ramp clear to the Carlton will be complete with ADA accessibility.
Right.
Very good. Thank you.
Next, the Transit Center, as you see right out our doors, is making some progress. We met with the contractor just today, actually, to work out some details on the stamped concrete. We're looking at the Thanksgiving holiday to perhaps close the whole area, close the road. Schools will be out. We won't interfere with that, and that'll help speed up. Actually, it causes a little delay, but it gives us a real good cure on the concrete before we start putting heavy traffic back on there, so we'll be able to get that project done. So we're expecting that project to be completed before or on December 3rd. So it is moving along. And our good friend Steve Martin has a update on Saver, which has been very successful, and the feedback that Steve has received has been great. And just I just want to note again that Steve's kind of led our effort in the Saver booth now for several years, and we scored again. Steve does a great job over there and has given us good leadership, good advice. And once again, I think Atascadero showed well.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Pleased to give you this report on the third edition of Savor the Central Coast, presented once again in our neck of the woods. The main event of this particular event is presented at the Santa Margarita Ranch. There are many ancillary events in the different communities around the county, and this is something that's co-sponsored by the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau and Sunset Magazine. City of Atascadero has been a major participant in this event since its inception. We've had now 3 years of booths displaying the attractions of Atascadero and offering people the opportunity to become involved and informed about the city of Atascadero and the advantages of traveling to this area, and specifically of traveling to the city of Atascadero. So a very brief report for you tonight we'll run through, and I'd be happy to ask any questions. We'd have the next slide, please. We started off with some pre-event activities this year. Something new this year was an online presentation, an incentive program to pre-sell tickets for the main event and also for the ancillary events. And there were two sweepstakes that were presented. One was the Ultimate Road Trip. The other was what we call the Atascadero Experience. The Ultimate Road Trip was a package of prizes donated from all of the participating agencies and entities in Savor the Central Coast. And then each individual entity had its own sweepstake with a collection of prizes to entice people into their city or area. For the Ultimate Road Trip, we contributed information and goods from the city of Atascadero. Let's see if I can get this to work. There we go. It was an online promotion on the internet, multiple prize packages, and the major Ultimate Road Trip package was presented at the event at the Santa Margarita Ranch. Hello. There we go. The Ultimate Road Trip packages from Atascadero included tickets to the Charles Paddock Zoo, some stuffed animal gifts, and also something that wasn't placed on that chart were complimentary meals at local restaurants. This was put into the big prize package basket with all the other prizes from all the other communities, and this grand Ultimate Road Trip package was given away at the Savor event. The Atascadero Experience centered totally on the city of Atascadero, and the components to that prize included lodging at the Carlton Hotel for our winner, coffee and pastries from Cassie's Custom Cakes, dinner at Colby Jack Restaurant, lunch at Guest House Grill, wine tasting at the Barrel Room and also at Haven Wine Bistro. We gave spa treatments at the Spa Central Coast and Vino Plus Therapy, a dosa de tour of the Colony Museum, Savor sorbet treats at Coldstone Creamery, and movie passes at Galaxy Theater. We also gave away Charles Paddock Zoo passes, golfing at Chalk Mountain Golf Course, and two weekend passes to the Savor main event at the Santa Margarita Ranch. The winner of the Atascadero experience was notified prior to the event, obviously, so they could travel to Atascadero, stay here, experience the main event, and experience Atascadero while they were here. Their winner was Maya Meza from Chico, California. She was greeted at our booth at the main event by Councilman Brian Sturdivant, and she said she was very delighted to have won the Atascadero Experience Prize. We spent 3 days enjoying what this area has to offer, and we've had a wonderful time. Atascadero is a very charming town, and it was a very ill Atascadero, so I can get you a link to that if you would like. She has also sent us a nice testimonial letter, which we'll use for promotion of Atascadero. The promotion of the city of itself at the event this year was quite a bit different from years past. If you remember the first year, we had a booth that was about 20 by 20 foot square. It included four different components of the community. Last year, we really bumped it up. We had a booth that was 20 feet by 50 feet. It was the largest booth in the main pavilion tent. This year, because they changed the layout of the event itself, the actual pavilion tent that housed all of the entities displaying was about cut in half from the year previously, so consequently all the booths were reduced in size also. We still had a 10 by 30 foot booth, which is one of the larger booths in the pavilion tent, and it was located between the booths for the Pass Rebels Inn and the community of Santa Margarita. To conserve on expenses, we utilized existing materials. We had our display banners, we had brochures, we had other materials that we had accumulated from last year. So we had very little additional expense to put the booth together, and we involved multiple local organizations to staff that booth. Those organizations included the Charles Paddock Zoo, Chalk Mountain Golf Course, the Atascadero Wine Association, Atascadero Centennial Committee, Atascadero Chamber, Atascadero Historical Society, Atascadero Main Street, Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial, Jody's Bloom and Grow, and several members of the City Council also stopped by to help with the booth. We got feedback from our partners. After the event itself, I went to all those people I just listed and I said, would you please send me your feedback on the impact of the event? Three people have so far responded. Holiday Inn Express, Best Western Colony Inn, and Gregor Jones representing the Chamber of Commerce. Holiday Inn Express and Suites says overall this year was up over 10% in occupancy, almost up 10% in average daily revenue during the four-day event. That gave them about a 15% growth in overall revenue. Best Western Colony Inn reported a 100% occupancy. They hosted three travel writers. I believe that the Carlton Hotel also hosted a couple of travel writers this year. Gregor Jones, representing the Chamber, said it appeared the event is improving. There were many more out-of-towners coming to our booth this year than in years past, and a great deal of interest in Chalk Mountain Golf and in the Charles Paddock Zoo. Very few downsides this year. There were a couple. First of all, we had a much smaller booth space, so it was a much being a downside of this year's event. And not any of our responsibility, but apparently some of the drivers had some problems following the driving instructions on how to get into and out of the event. So those are things we'll forward to the VCB and let them deal with that. Giving an idea of what the costs were, back in 2011, the city of Atascadero spent $20,000 to participate in SAVOR. That includes the cost of the booth space, that includes all the materials, everything that went into putting the booth together. This year, with a smaller booth and with materials already on hand, we managed to do the 2012 show for just about $11,750. So it was a money savings for the city this year. Overall, as the city manager said, quite successful. We showed very well, lots of positive comments, tremendous popularity for the Charles Paddock Zoo and for Chalk Mountain Golf. We will be receiving copies of emails from registrations through the VCB, and also we collected emails as part of a giveaway of golfing at the booth, which we'll receive a copy from Chalk Mountain Golf Course, so we can use that for remarketing for tourism in the future. And with that, I would answer any questions I can.
I have a question. The question was asked me, where does the money go? I mean, it's what, like $100 to get in there, and
right.
There's all these vendors that are obviously paying quite a bit, so right. How is the money distributed?
Well, the money is used to actually pay for the show, and I can get you a detailed report from the VCB once it's released this year. That probably won't happen for another 30 to 60 days. But the revenues from the show, including national sponsors, local sponsors, booth fees, et cetera, go into paying for the ranch, go into paying for the huge pavilion tents, go into paying for the music and entertainment, the porta potties, all of the things it takes to put on and promote that event. If you remember, the first year they did this, the first Saver event, they actually lost a substantial amount of money. Last year, about broke even. This year, they're very hopeful they're going to finish in the black.
So who lost?
Pardon?
Who lost? Who was the loser the first year?
Well, the VCB was the loser because it came right out of their budget. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. Sunset Magazine, how do they fare?
Sunset Magazine has been a co-sponsor for the last 3 years. They intend to continue on indefinitely, although there's not a set-in-stone contract with Sunset Magazine. I was able to speak with the president of Sunset Magazine prior to the main event this year. They are still very excited about the event. They consider it one of their signature events, and they plan to continue doing it.
And what about attendance? Was it up, down, same?
I can only tell you that, from my point of view, the Saturday attendance was much higher.
Pressure testing on the transmission line, and so they've excavated those pits to get the equipment in needed for that testing.
Will that be an ongoing thing for the next couple of weeks, or?
Yes, will probably be ongoing for probably the next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the community forum. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record before making your presentation. Comments made during community forum will not be a subject of discussion. Is there anyone that would like to speak at community forum?
Yeah, good evening. I'm Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church representing the Ministerial Association. Just a comment for Steve on the Save the Central Coast. My daughter happened to be one of the event planners for the TED conference that was held at Cal Poly, and working with Experts Exchange to host that, and they brought their speaker bureau to the event. Very complimentary. It was really very impressive for them, all of them coming from not only around the state but outside of the state as well to come to that event. So it was a pretty good exposure for the Central Coast, one of the great highlights. And just happy birthday, Mayor.
Well, thank you.
And I was going to pray for your singing after hearing you sing up there as a city council, but I figured that wouldn't help. Not even the Lord can help that singing, but it was a good effort, so thanks a lot. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the city that we enjoy, and what an amazing day you blessed us with today. And Lord, we recognize that there are so many places, other places around the world that are in great distress today and aren't safe, and Lord, are concerned just for their very welfare. Look at that young girl in Pakistan that was shot, and just trying to stand up for girls getting an education. And Lord, we take so much of what we have here for granted. We're so grateful for the protection that we enjoy, for the freedom that we enjoy, to be able to stand up at a meeting like this and dissent, and do so in a civil manner without repercussions and fear for our own safety. And so we're grateful for that. Lord, we continue to pray for those who provide protection for our citizens who be well pleased. So we thank you for our city that we have come to love and that we live in. And so we just ask for this evening, too, for wisdom for the decisions that are made as we move forward as a community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Farrell. Thank you for the wonderful things that you do for our community also. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, and apparently birthday congratulations are due.
Thank you, Sue.
I'm Susan Warren with North County Connection, and I just came tonight to remind everybody about our special speaker next week, Wednesday night, at the Atascadero Lake Pavilion at 7 o'clock. And we will be having Dr. Mario San Bartolome, and he's an addiction specialist and a primary care physician from South County. But he has a lot of background in working in various treatment programs and some of the new research and things that have been done as we're integrating behavioral health, which is mental health and substance disorders, into primary care. So I encourage the council members to come and partake of this great presentation. I heard him at Sierra Vista in June, and it was even informative for me, and it's done for the community. He's got lots of overheads and makes it very easy and simple to understand some of the new brain chemistry research that's been done, and which explains why this is now being wrapped up under the health departments rather than strictly criminal justice. And it really looks to the future where we'll be coming up with greater types of treatment opportunities, and just fascinating, really, really fascinating. So I do encourage you and your friends and other community members just to come check it out. It'll be 7 o'clock at the Pavilion next Wednesday, and it's free. And just come and join us, and you will learn so much. And it really will give us all an equal starting place in understanding what's been learned just in the last 10 years. And because we're kind of in a time crunch, we've got a little over a year to put together some resources and referrals before provide more resources and opportunities in our North County community.
Fine, thank you very much.
And I've got some flyers.
Next speaker, please.
Good evening again. By the way, the Giants scored a run in the top of the 10th. It was 1-2-3 by Romo in the bottom of the 10th, and the Giants beat Cincinnati. I've always wanted to be a sportscaster. Finally got my chance. I still have no answer. My name is Mitch Paskin. I'm a resident of Atascadero. I still have no answer from the city. This is my fourth request for an answer. If the city will help pay for a traffic safety evaluation in and around Oak Ridge Estates, 3F Meadows, and Paradise Valley, so we can have an objective view of what the city has created by approving the project and continuing to back Castle Rock development over the safety of its own citizens. I still haven't heard about the city's ability and willingness to upgrade the intersection at SR 41 and Los Altos Road, as is by law they have the right to do to protect the safety of the citizens of Atascadero. Still no answer. You know, this is I wrote this out before I saw the minutes thing, so I'm not trying to pile on here. But, you know, this is classic Atascadero. Just ignore the issue. Nobody writes about it. Nobody hears about it. It'll just go away. It's not going to go away. I'm not going away. You know, Castle Rock is starting to put in the walkways on Senegal and Laurel, and so the process is going to be stepped up. My neighbors are going to be coming in soon asking for, you know, why their safety has been jeopardized for developers' profits. And I'd like you to look at this room. There's more people in the dais tonight than there is in the room. And if you think that's representing the people of Atascadero, I think that's wrong. And, you know, if Castle Rock Development decides that the safety of the people that are going to live in his development is more important than his profits, and he decides to abandon Senegal Road and cut a road through San Marcos Court over to the Escobroso easement out to SR 41 and bypass
the meetings and listening to Mr. Paskin's whine about this intersection. And I've driven by it about 4 times in the last 4 weeks, and I really don't understand what he's talking about. It's really not that dangerous going in or coming out of it. There's plenty of room in the center lane to pull over if you're traveling towards the Tascadero to get in. And I just don't understand why he has a problem. And, you know, he talks about the number of people in the room not being represented. Well, I don't see anybody else besides him or occasionally his wife coming in and making this complaint. And he wants the city to spend, you know, an unlimited amount of money to, you know, cut in a new road. You know, the road that's there is, it's a windy road. I've been up many times. And the people that move up there, they knew about it when they moved up there. And they're very careful when they drive it. And I haven't heard of a whole lot of accidents on that road. And so until Mr. Paskins, you know, brings in some more people, I wish he'd, you know, let this thing go. And it'll get improved in time. And that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Is there any other one person that would like to speak? Not seeing anybody, the community forum portion of the meeting is now closed. Thank you for your comments. Any member of the public who has questions or needs information may contact the city clerk's office for answers and specific information. The city clerk's business card with her phone number and email address are available on the table at the back of the council chambers. Next on the agenda is public hearings, and I think Mr. Lewis, are you making a... Oh, Marcia.
It's me, yes. Thank you, Mayor. This item is about some proposed amendments I'm making to you for the Municipal Code. And the Municipal Code is a very large book, which I didn't bring in here. It's also on our website. But it is all the laws that the city follows, and it's made up of all the ordinances that all the councils have adopted over the years, the 33 years that the city has been incorporated. And over periods of time, some things are outdated, maybe the state law changes, and so we change the Municipal Code to bring it up to date with those laws. Or the ordinances that the council may adopted a personnel system rules at the time, but they put it into the Municipal Code, so the whole personnel rules were in the code. And then it wasn't until 2002 that there was just a couple of sentences added to that about veterans' preference in recruitments. However, the city has updated those personnel rules a few times, and most recently you just did that in June. So what I'm proposing here is that because that we now have a separate document, which you approved in June, that all these pages that are in the Municipal Code that are now outdated anyway, they are the old personnel rules, that all we have to really do legally is reference the personnel rules in the code, that we have a code, personnel rules in the code, and then we have that separate document. So that the first recommendation I'm making to you is to adopt an ordinance that removes the language that you see all crossed off in the staff report, but keeping the few paragraphs that I left uncrossed out, and then adding a few words you'll see that are underlined. And that would bring that section up to date. The next item is on the city treasurer entitled to Chapter 7, and this was an item that actually I started looking at this section. Yes?
Excuse me, could you just reference the page number when 40, you...
47. Sure, 47. About the...
you're on, okay, I'm
is on page 47 of your staff report. So that's the next section that I'm going to talk about is the treasurer. I actually started looking at this because I wanted to add language to the code about the fact that we are now going to have an elected mayor. And in looking at that and looking in that section about elections, I found a few other things, such as that the treasurer, it didn't mention that the treasurer is elected. It did mention that the city clerk was elected, and it didn't mention the terms of any of our elected officials. So to clean that up, I was recommending on page 47, I show just adding the one short sentence that the office is elected, meaning the city treasurer is an elected position.
Could I make a comment on that?
Sure.
There's three places where it refers to him. Should that be he or she?
Actually, the city attorney can correct me, but I believe that the law or whatever about that is that you can say him or he. We can add, I mean, throughout the document, there's going to be lots of hims instead of hims and hers, but it is allowed to not have to add her.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, though. I appreciate that.
Well, no, I just want to stay ahead of the card
here.
No,
I appreciate that. And the next item on that same page, page 47 of your staff report, which is the item that I actually started working on here, which is about the elections. And so here again, I mentioned that because we have the registered voters of Atascadero had voting rules, and to introduce for first reading by title only the draft ordinance B, amending Title II, Chapters 7 and 14 regarding election issues. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Are there any questions? If not, I'll open it for a public comment. Seeing no one approach a podium, I'll close it and bring it back to the City Council. Do we make a motion on this? Or?
I'll make a motion that we recommend staff's, we pass a recommendation for staff's proposal.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant. Sorry.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Kelly.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Okay, we have no management reports. Do we have any council announcements and or reports?
I don't know if this is the right place, but I'd like to propose that we have a proclamation in the very near future for the 25th anniversary of Coats for Kids.
Oh, very nice.
That'd be fine.
I don't know whether this is the place for it, but just going over what Mitch had to say and we have 140 miles of city-maintained roads that we basically can't maintain, all of them. And there's a lot of roads in Atascadero, and you've all driven them, that have some danger. And what we have to do is we've got to slow down. I mean, most of the accidents are human error. So there's also 40 miles of non-city-maintained roads in Atascadero. Mitch gets up and to his credit, he's always respectful and he's persistent on, trying to get some action up there on his roads. But from my perspective, they're no different than a lot of roads that are here in Atascadero. And in this case, we always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but there isn't any grease, so I really don't know what to tell him. And then the question of, why isn't there more citizens here? I've been on this thing 16 years, and we get citizens here when we got, areas that are being contested and people that are angry. And I think, generally speaking, most of the citizens in Atascadero right now are pretty happy with the City Council and the direction we're going. And certainly that is something that is easily to take a look at when no one of any credibility decided to run for council or mayor. And that's telling me that the most...
Because I have a couple times wanted to respond to some of his comments. I and Roberta have met with him privately on some of these issues as well. But not as long as Councilman Clay, but I've certainly served as chairperson for San Luis Council of Governments, where we have dealt with a lot of these road issues on a regional basis, and they deal with things the same process that we do at a local level, and I believe it's actually very scientific. And I think the average person doesn't realize, I personally think it would be a mistake for council to interfere very much with the process of how decisions are made on what roads need to be repaired next. Something that I very much value that I've looked into in the past is how much we rely on staff and some very well thought out science in terms of how we prioritize road work. And for example, it has to do with safety is certainly an issue, but actually monitoring accidents and different occurrences at different areas, and also maintenance, how in some cases it's more cost effective to provide maintenance in some roads compared to others at different timing. And a lot of thought goes into this, and I know in response to some of this, we're going to be hearing from our city engineer in a future and have that illustration. I think it's very important for our community to understand that we certainly hear these concerns, but I'm very cautious to go against our city engineer and our police chief and fire chief's research on this. And quite frankly, every road in our city every road in our county, including state highways, are all ranked by a very scientific method, and what are things are prioritized based on, again, that limited grease, as Councilman Clay was saying about. So it's not arbitrary by our council. Only one time in my career did I see someone, it was at a time when Councilman Clay and I were in a minority on council, did someone intervene and change those priorities, and I was opposed to it. I still would continue to be against that. I rely on some good research by staff. So I look forward to staff reviewing that process, and I just want the public to be assured it's very thorough. I believe it's very science-based. And I think that's something that's very important for us to go by. Now, we've reviewed some of these things. I understand that.
And he's being serviced on there. He's pretty frustrated, though, I think, like maybe some people are. Like Jerry says, I wish we could do more, but we're doing the best we can. With that, I'll move on to council committee reports. I think.
Excuse me, Mayor. Actually, I was going to sneak in a few just brief that was a little longer report, I admit. But I did want to mention thanks to we got some good help from Colby Jacks, Cassie down there. I called in on very short notice, had an idea. You know, I think we ought to do some for the mayor, and she put together a kind of cute little cupcake,
nice.
I think, there, don't you?
I was hoping that you would cut this short so I can eat it, Tom.
Yeah, well, I'm going to, yeah. And I did want to mention coming up very soon this weekend, there's the garden tour going on around our city, and be sure to check in the Atascadero Mutual Water Company's website, learn all about that, and a very fun places to visit. And, of course, the following weekend we'll have our Colony Days. Thanks, the Quota Club, inviting some of the old-timers out for the Colony Tea on a week from this Sunday, followed by, I think it's always a great experience at Rabobank. They always host the Colony Days Chamber Mixer over there Thursday evening, and that's a heck of a lot of fun, and, of course, followed by Colony Days.
Can so you, just can, to, where, Tom, can you still get in E.G. Lewis's suit is what I want to know.
You will see what I'll be wearing. Yeah. Unfortunately, that suit has shrunk over time.
Yeah.
You're right. Let's let it go at that.
Well, something has happened.
Something has happened.
To that.
Yeah. I think it's time to move on. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to say that, you know, Tom and his wife are
Peggy.
Thank you, king and queen, and that's great. That's great, Tom. Very deserving.
Good. Yeah. Well, it should be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
That's Thanks, king Jerry. And queen of Colony Days, not of the city. We didn't make any changes here.
Great. Moving on to council committee reports, we had a design review committee, and I think I'll leave that to Roberta since you're the chair. Economic Vitality Corporation, I attended that meeting, and Candy Markwith and another lady gave quite a presentation on the medical aspects of the county, the cost involved, and what a major part of the economy is of the hospitals, the doctors, and all the people that work for them, and probably some of the significant changes that we're going to see here in the future for medical care. And she also announced that the heliport has been approved down there at Sierra Vista Hospital, and I believe as of about a week or so ago, last meeting.
I think we do have a successor agency board meeting right after this, and we'll be talking about the same item, which is the due diligence review of the low moderate income housing fund. And so I'll briefly go over it then, if that would be all right, Mayor.
Okay, great. Tom, you're next on the list.
Well, thank you. I'll say a little bit more about roads. I think, Mr. City Engineer, when you have that on the agenda, if you could forewarn me, I'd like to kind of coincide, maybe talk a little bit about more about the funding of roads at that same time in my report. And I'll just briefly say another challenge we have, Jerry says it best, we just don't have enough grease. But the problem is we did have a lot of funding that many of you local voters voted on that would allow funding through gas taxes and others to come directly to the city, and then we in turn could be working on some roads. Unfortunately, the state in their problems has just said, no, we're keeping it. And in many cases on funding, not only that has gone to local level and some of the funds we work with regionally just haven't been coming through. Something I want to talk about in the future, part of my slow cog, is that we, now see, Bob, you gave me a note.
I'm too old for this. I can't think two thoughts simultaneously. But
wait till you get old.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, anyway, there's a concern I have is there is a new federal law. It's abbreviated. It's referred to as MAP 21. I know you'll think it's tied to Agenda 21, but it's just a coincidence. But as of this summer, there was a new federal law that combined over 100 programs and funding at the federal level, and we're just figuring it out at the state level what the impact's going to be. And I would like to report on it a little bit more at the future, but it is going to impact our funding for roads and other things. And what's being done is a lot of the criteria of how funding is distributed. And as Roberta's fought with APCD, the Air Pollution Control District Board, there are many things that we're kind of getting backed into that we wouldn't necessarily choose to do in our community, that we're going to be backed into that if you don't do certain actions that we might think are a lower priority, it's going to put us out of the running for a lot of funding of things we really need. So I think it's the things we're going to have to keep an eye on, and I'll talk more on that. I think it'd be a good discussion to have a whole roads discussion sometime. I did want to say one good piece of news, two pieces of good news, really. For some time, I've been Lewis Highway to the Cloisters, and we have a long tradition of working with Morro Bay, and I envision that first trip. I think we're going to certainly want to go visit our friends in Morro Bay, and we're going to invite them over. I want to time it with Galaxy Theater's schedule, and we want to have a stop at our zoo, and I think there's going to be a very good partnership, and we're going to get at least a trial for our centennial year this summer, and I think there's the potential that we could keep this going maybe weekends in the future and maybe in the summertime. Along with that is, you know, we are working on the re-looking at the bus routes, how we can be more cost-effective in the North County. There is going to be some savings by looking at this more regionally. The bulk of that savings is being created by our citizens in Atascadero, and I continue to fight to make sure we hang on to the good, fair portion of that savings. And areas that I want to see is, for example, maybe extending this Morro Bay run. And two, we've been lobbying so far successfully. I'd like to see some of that money set aside in a pool that we could then call upon to use for special events. For example, as we were able to do in the past, maybe sponsor motel runs to the fairgrounds during that season, or to Savor, and tie into our restaurants and motels, and maybe help out some of these with some extra bus runs. So those are some things we'll be able to talk about, and again, I'll report back more in the future. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, I'm sure them people in Morro Bay, you know, when it's cold and foggy over there,
I'm thinking,
you know, would like to get over to Atascadero where it's nice and bright and sunny and beautiful. I can just imagine they're waiting for that bus.
And, you know, when you get off and you say, gee, it's a little warmer, I'm expecting, you pop over, you get yourself a Cold Stone ice cream and catch a movie, you're feeling pretty good.
Absolutely. Good deal.
Great. Roberta?
Thank you. The Design Review Committee did meet and discuss the new hotel that is proposed to go in near the Home Depot. We did see the plans for this. It is a beautiful hotel. It will be coming before the Planning Commission. I am not certain of the date, but I believe it's the 18th, could be wrong, and I know it will be televised. So it's important that the citizens know about this, and if they have some interest in this or would like to have some input, we would like you to come and state what your feelings are. They are proposing to downsize the conference center, which I was hoping they would expand. I think that the North County is a great place to have a conference center. It would draw. You could tell us about the free flu shots for the citizens of Atascadero. I believe it's coming up on the 14th at the community center, but I was wondering if you could confirm the time.
Yeah, 4:30? 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Starts at 2 o'clock at the community center on the 14th.
And that is free, correct?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian?
No reports.
Jerry? Great.
I'd just like to take this time and thank Tom and Roberta for all the really long hours that you put in defending, really, the citizens of Atascadero with these regional water quality boards and the APCD and all of the rules that they're trying to formulate that will greatly affect everybody in this town. I just want to thank you guys for the
great job that you're doing for us.
Okay. I'll second that.
Individual determinations and or actions. Is there anyone on staff or the council that has any comments that they would like to make on this? Fine. With that, I'll adjourn the city council meeting, and we'll move to the successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero. And I'll open up that meeting, call it to order, and I guess we'll need a roll call for that.
Councilmember Fonzie,
here.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Here.
Mayor Kelly.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. The consent calendar, is there anyone on the council that would like to pull anything on the consent calendar?
We need to approve the agenda also.
I keep getting the agenda tonight. Right. Motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Third. Roll call.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Kelly.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the public that would like to poll anything on the consent calendar? Seeing no one, could I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Yes.
Mayor Kelly.
Yes.
5-0, motion
Community
passes.
Community Forum, is there anyone that would like to approach the podium and speak on this? Seeing no one, I'll close Community Forum. There are no public hearings. We do have a management report.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. The item you have before you tonight is as the successor agency is the review of the Low Moderate Income Housing Fund due diligence review. Right, Board? And there are specific deadlines. For the Low Moderate Income Housing Fund, the due diligence report had to be distributed by October 1st to the board members, the state controller, county auditor controller, and a host of others. It was done by that date. On October 4th, 2012, the Oversight Board held a public session on the review, and we went over the review in quite a lot of detail. On October 11th, the Oversight Board is scheduled to meet and consider approval of the review. The law requires that there be at least five business days between when the public session is held and when the approval is done. And so we are trying to get that all done and off to the state by the state deadline of October 15, 2012. As I said, the procedures were developed by the Department of Finance and CPAs. There was a very tight time frame to complete this review. A lot of agencies are going to miss those deadlines. We will make them. And our city auditors, Amos, Levy, and Hartzheim, performed the review. So they were willing to do that. They came out on September 21st and performed the review. The review is online if people are interested in seeing it. There's not a lot of exceptions. I'll let you go ahead and switch to the next slide. There wasn't a lot of activity or hanging on activity after the dissolution of the RDA. In the Low Moderate Income Housing Fund. As you remember, we were right on the cusp of approving lots of different projects and encumbering, but we didn't have those contracts actually executed. So it's actually a very clean break for the Low Moderate Income Housing Fund. It's a very unfortunate break, which Jim will go into, but nevertheless, this is one of the clean audit. When we get to the city, when we get to the other redevelopment funds, it'll be something very different because there was a lot of lingering on and continued activity. Basically, the report comes down that there's about $5.8 million in housing assets as of June 30th, 2012. About 1.5 of those housing assets aren't liquid. They're not cash. There's a loan to the Redevelopment General Fund. There's the downtown housing stimulus loans, and there's some investment things that can't be converted to cash, so we subtract those out. We also had to distribute, if you remember, the amount we received in tax increment in December. We had to give that back to the county in July, and so we subtract out another $320,000 for that. That leaves disagreeing with on this. It's a fairly cut and dried type of thing, so it is my expectation that within the next few weeks we will be cutting a check. It'll actually go to the county auditor controller for distribution of the taxing agencies for $3.9 million. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jim.
Rochelle, just a clarification. That doesn't come out of our general fund working funds. That's out of the separate redevelopment.
Yes, that is correct. That is out of the former low moderate income housing funds for redevelopment. These are monies that we set aside to produce affordable housing here in the city.
Rochelle provided you with the financial overview and how we complied the best we could with state law. I want to share with you the real story that we're also calling this. Again, this is another opportunity for Sacramento to steal money from you and from our local government. $3.9 million has left our community. Again, as we continue to see, the rules change frequently. The audit was difficult for the auditors to get to, being their very busy season. They did the best they could. We're grateful through Rochelle's relationship that we were able to get that so we were not fined $10,000 a day and potential property and taxes withheld. So Rochelle did a great job getting through this, but again, those rules changed. It was difficult to get the auditors to even understand what the audit was, but nonetheless, I think we were able to get there, and Rochelle and her team, again, dropped a bunch of stuff to try and figure this out and is still managing to do everything they do, and so she should be recognized for that. But nonetheless, the community loses not just money, but affordable housing, and that has always been a priority of the city council, is to make sure people can live and work here. And our ability, the tool you had to make sure that happened, is one of your largest tools, is gone. One of the impacts we wanted to show you was the Acacias project. This was a 40-unit mixed-use project that was on El Camino Real, just south of San Anselmo. It would have provided housing for well over 100 people and have mixed use, some retail. It would have been a great development on that, in that part of the community, and that is definitely jeopardized. There were several downtown projects that were coming about, potentially across from the Sutton Gardens, potentially as part of Colony Square. There was a lot of interest in this money, and these projects were really rolling in. As a matter of fact, you'd had several study sessions and were weeks away from issuing contracts for these projects, and that's the real shame, is that you'd laid the goals out as part of your strategic planning. We'd done the groundwork, and we were there, but the state of California simply created some dates at which it said things were no longer legal so they could take this money. So the real key to build a certain amount of affordable housing to be consistent, but we're taking away the money and the tool you have to do it. And I think that just is emblematic of what's happening in Sacramento right now. And they take it away for what? What happens to the money? The majority of this goes to balance the budget. We'll see when that happens. The remaining amount is redistributed to the taxing agencies. Some money does stay in our county for educational facility improvements, which that will definitely benefit at Cuesta College and in some of the county schools and perhaps in our own school district. The county will be receiving approximately $900,000 of this money that will go to their general fund, and perhaps it might be something we want to think about, that maybe the county could reinvest some of that back into our community for these projects. I know that the county has been concerned about affordable housing as well, and that might be something that the council would wish to pursue in the future.
Jim, are you saying that the county's going to receive $900,000 of our money?
Yes. It will transfer to them as general fund money.
That's nice.
And it is not budgeted, so it's manna for them. So that concludes my presentation and the fireworks for this evening.
Let me just add a couple of comments, if I could. Jim did a great job, and, of course, Rochelle has really been battling it out. We also found out today from the Department of Finance that we'll get an opportunity to meet with them again on our ROPS, the Recognized Obligation Payment Schedule. So Rochelle and I and our assistants from Burke Williams Sorensen and Gonzalez and Sons, who have been helping us through this maze, will meet with us with Department of Finance next week. So that's on the regular piece. We're continuing to keep going on that.
Jim, at the last meeting, we had the $900,000 that you made reference to. You did suggest that to Supervisor Patterson. What would be your suggestion for the City Council to approach this as a council?
I would suggest that we continue, and perhaps Mayor, you as the chairman of the oversight board that looks at this, continue dialogue with the supervisor to see what they intend to do with that. We can keep information to the council as far as when that money is transferred to the county, but I believe that leadership from the city council and working through that decision would be very positive and could yield investment in our community. So we'll continue to keep you informed, and I think you'd have a significant role in that, along with other council members if it was interest to you.
I want to thank you for bringing that up at the meeting and planting the seed for it.
Question, is it possible for staff to find out how much money they're getting from other cities so we'd have a cumulative amount that's going to the county?
It may be a matter of months.
I have some leverage.
That meeting will be this week, and I'll bring that up.
We want our money back would be a better
Well, if we
position.
Can't have it back, we'd like to have it stipulated for a particular use, not going into the general fund.
Well, no, but so for housing, of course.
Yes, of course for housing. Yeah. That's exactly where we want it to go, but we want it to come back to Atascadero. So I would ask staff if they could rack their brains a little bit and come up with a way that we could perhaps approach this. That would be appreciated.
Thank you.
And also, this regional housing needs a assessment. I'm not sure of the word, the A portion of RHNA, but Warren, if we do not meet our allotment, what happens to us?
Well, the regional housing needs, it's A for allocation, is it's a goal. You have to have a general plan that is consistent with it so that there's the ability for the private sector to build those units. Some of the more subsidized units, the very low-income units, the assumption in our general plan was that the agency was going to help subsidize those units to be built because typically those very low-income units can't be built by the private sector. Right now, there aren't necessarily any penalties for not creating those units, but we are in a new cycle, and we don't know what the state's next cycle rules are going to be. They do continue to ratchet up the rules on the city. So SLOCOG is actually in the process of setting up the methodology committee right now for the next round of allocations, which come down in 2014 or go into effect in 2014. So they're going to come down next year, and we'll have to then update our general plan to accommodate those numbers. So that will be a bigger challenge than it's been in the past because we do not any longer have the redevelopment agency to help create some of these units. And there's going to be this process of where these units are get divided up between the city and county. And I think, you know, part of this money going to the county now needs to be considered in that allocation process about who actually should be responsible for these low-income units.
I agree with you. We need to discuss that. But if the general plan is told we have to do this, but there's no way to get there, it seems like an exercise in futility to put it into a general plan amendment.
Well, it will be more difficult. We did achieve certification from the state in the last round, but that was based on the city's housing or redevelopment agency helping to subsidize a number of our units. So we have dozens of policies that talk about how the agency was going to help support affordable housing. We won't have those policies, so it will be more difficult for us to somehow try to explain to the state.
Thank you.
Warren, don't we just have to provide the land for these units and not the units themselves?
We have to provide the land and then have policies to support it, but on the very low-income units, they are looking for the city to actually have proactive programs, which we provided through the redevelopment agency. Yeah. So you do have to convince the state that not only are you providing the land, but you're providing tools and incentives and all these sorts of things to encourage these units. So they are looking for more than just land and zoning at the state level.
Thank you.
Well, I know you think it's bad, but it's actually worse than that. And this is my concern is not only has the state set some standards and have they taken away some funding, literally, that would actually meet those standards, they're also creating criteria based on these standards that will impact lots of other funding. And there's some very good aspects to smart growth, as we talk about sometimes, and there's some things that really communities should have their own choice, comparing us to San Luis. And there is much more of an urban model being looked at with other funding, whether it's for roads or you name it. And my concern, and this is a hot topic at SLOCOG, and we are working with legislative lobbyists statewide on this very issue, but there is a push to, I think, see a little more given to the larger urban areas and less coming to our areas unless we adopt some very urban-like processes. And so I think that's going to be our challenge for us. And I think in the past we've had our Board of Supervisors has also looked at even with the funding that we have some discretion over within our county, they have
folks have been working on criteria that would kind of skew those funding decisions based on, to abbreviate, smart growth principles. So I think it's across the board, we're going to have to really pay attention to these issues that you've raised, Roberta. So we'll just be diligent.
Brian?
Well, I was excited when we were coming so close to actually some of these projects like the Acacias and the other groups that had come that night to speak in front of us. And I just, I'm really hoping we can make this real. You know, it seems like we set the land aside, we do all these things, we had the money, and it just, we haven't realized the ability to be able to give, you know, homes and be able to, the construction jobs. You know, I just want to make it real. It's like to get, you know, something thrown at you in a very short time frame. It's like, how in the world does this work and how do we get it done? So thank you very much. I really appreciate you doing that and really keeping us from the fines and setting us up for so that we can tackle this in a manner that just let's go after. Let's make something real come out of this.
Well, I think they're actually doing more damage to the economy than what they think they're doing well. I think overall, I think we were looking at close to 200 units being built in this town. A good proportion of them would have been moderate to low income. The amount of jobs that would have been created in the trickle down, what is the 7 multiplier, it can't come close to the money that they're actually taking to us or what we could have provided with the increase in property taxes and what have you. So I would hope that the public actually becomes really aware of this, and when it becomes more of an issue, or if you have a chance to comment on it, that you'll get on the bandwagon and help us, because it's just plain thievery is all it is. Yeah. With that, is there any comments from the public? Mr. Shannon?
Jim Shannon, Tascadero. Listening to that is pretty maddening. You know, here we're going to send them a check for $3.9 million. The state's going to get $3 million. They're going to send $900,000 back to our county to their general fund when they don't deserve it. They don't. I mean, yeah, they're hurting too. But my fear is listening to this that was money for low income or moderate income housing, and like Warren said, there is no rules or regulations saying that we're mandated to do something. My fear is that they're going to go ahead and pass something saying that we need to still meet that mandate, and we won't be able to. Then there's going to be fines and all that stuff that we can't pay. So, again, there's more money going out, and it has nothing to do with what we're doing here. It has to do with incompetence on the state level that's been there for many, many years. And this being an election year, I'm going to get up here on my soapbox. Who runs this state and who's been running this state for many, many years? The Democrats or socialists, liberals, whatever you want to call them. And this is a chance to turn the tide if we can. I know we got a bunch of progressive in this state, and fortunately this county is still conservative for the most part. But this is a chance, you know, these things here just really irritate me, and to see that we work hard as a city to make things happen ourselves. We've been very proactive as a city council and the staff and all that stuff to do projects around here, make improvements in our community at the bare minimums that we can get by with, and it's impressive to see what you guys have done. Going to an interchange, I still want to find out how many hundreds of thousands of dollars are going to cost to fight this lawsuit that they're going. So if they really care about tax dollars, let's see that. They should have been here speaking tonight to the tax dollars and money they're being ripped off from us here. It's maddening to me that we don't have more people here speaking out and paying attention. You know, I agree with Mr. Paskin about people coming out and speaking and understanding, but, you know, I guess more people are interested in watching the garbage on television and then getting out and fighting what we need to fight for. And I appreciate what you guys all do, every one of you, from the police chief all the way around the dais up there, the excellent job you guys do, and I appreciate the hard work you put into, and I know you're up against the wall all the time, but you have my support, and I appreciate it, and just fight on tooth and nail every step of the way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon, and thank you for your support for us.
You know, that money going back to state, I mean, it's just lost. I mean, you might as well just flush it down the toilet. It is gone. I swear to God, we could have done a lot with that money.
Okay, with that, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to the city council for a motion.
It's a receive and file item.
Yeah. We make a motion for that? We don't need a motion for that? Okay, I thought we did as before. Were there any board announcements or reports for this? With that, I will adjourn the city council, and the city council will now meet in executive session regarding existing litigation. No, I already asked.